Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
Once our eyes are opened, we can't pretend we don't know what to do. God, who weighs our hearts and keeps our souls, knows that we know and holds us responsible to act. That is from Proverbs 24:12. Welcome to Orphans No More. This is a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and our guest today joining us from Canada is orphan, adoption, and foster care advocate, Brandilyn Musial. Welcome to the show, Brandilyn.
Pleasure to be with you.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on the show today, and you're doing some incredible advocacy work on behalf of vulnerable children up there in Canada, including launching Orphan Sunday and Stand Sunday in Canada. Brandilyn, tell us what led you to this work.
I would say that scripture you shared is the summary of the nutshell, but I suppose it all started, there was kind of two elements that were happening at the same time. One was we were visiting some friends of ours, and they had some little booklets on the coffee table made by a distant niece or nephew of theirs. And I was picking one of these up and reading through, and had some nice things on, you know, homeschooling and Christianity and adoption and foster care. And as I was reading through, there was this little article called The Miracle of Katie. And it was the story about a little girl with Down syndrome who'd been born in Bulgaria and been placed in an institutional orphanage, and I can't remember the exact specifics, but something to the effect of, you know, 9 years old and weighing 8 pounds and still in a crib and still drinking out of a bottle and not able to walk and not able to talk, and it kind of rocked my world. I guess I've told people I've always known, I think most of us know, if you think of children that don't have parents, that can't be easy. There have to be some substantial challenges there, but I had no idea that was happening to children, that you know, they were often in institutional orphanages, not learning the basics and not being able to grow and to learn to walk and things like that. And so there was, I guess I again tell people that Katie's story haunted me. It was something that I thought about in the morning, and I thought about at night, and I thought about during the day at work, and I just didn't really know what to do with it. But as that scripture says, I just knew that once I knew, I was responsible for acting on that information, and so I spent some time researching to find out if this was a one-off situation, a random story, or if it was common. And as time went on, I realized that no, this is something that happens to thousands of children. It's fairly common in various parts of the world, and it just, again, kind of broke my heart all the more of, oh my goodness, this is, you know, this is something that has to be addressed. This is something we need to know about. And at the same time, I've had a pattern of checking in with the Lord of, God, am I doing with my life what you want me to do with my life? And this was, I suppose, 2014, and I had the clearest answer that I've ever had on any question I've ever asked him, and it was just a no. I want you to quit your job. And I remember thinking, you know, God, only crazy people quit their job. What am I quitting my job for? You know, I can't quit my job if I'm not going in some direction. And I had the clarity of quitting my job, and I just had laid on my heart this, you know about what's going on with these kids. You've been exposed to this story. What are you going to do about it? And so that's kind of how I got into it.
Yeah, and you've got a very interesting God-specific piece of that story as well. When you attended, you went to a missions festival in 2015, searching for answers. Tell us how you got those answers.
Yeah, so I started with the quitting my job piece. Since grade three, I've always had the dream of being a marine biologist. That's the only thing I've ever wanted, ever been interested in. Everything I got is oceans and dolphins and whales and whatnot. So the whole quitting my job was kind of crazy, but I gave my resignation for that. And as I was working on my phasing out process, I was looking for, okay, Lord, what, you know, what does the direction? Meanwhile, this Miracle of Katy, the background behind that was just kind of building and building in my heart, and I thought that was likely to be a direction I would go, but I wanted confirmation that it was God's direction, not my direction. So my husband and I attended Missions Fest here in Vancouver, and, you know, of course, you go with your feelers out because you're expecting God to speak. And so we went and we visited every table and we talked to every exhibitor and we went to main sessions. And at the end of the night, you know, we looked at each other and said, you know, was there anything there that really jumped out at you today? And no, yeah, me neither. And it was rather disappointing because I think, you know, if you expect God to direct where you're going to go in your life, Missions Fest is the place he's going to speak. But it seemed that he didn't. And through a series of unexpected events, we ended up deciding to stay last minute to listen to the Watoto choir sing, the Watoto African Children's Choir, and we then decided, well, it's too late to get a ferry back to Vancouver Island. We'll stay overnight. And so we stayed overnight, and then in the morning, well, maybe we'll meet our friend before we go, and they weren't available till lunch, so, well, maybe we just go to their church. And so, you know, no clean clothes, no toothbrush, no brushing your hair. We got up in the morning and kind of last minute ended up going to this church service. And they had a guest speaker there that day, and they were doing a special service with the president of the Christian Alliance for Orphans, Jed Medefend, out of the U.S., who you'll, of course, be quite familiar with. And we had no idea what this service would be, had no idea who this guy would be, and he started talking. And I just spent the entire service with tears pouring down my face, mm-hmm. because every element of what Jed said, the video that he showed, the scriptures he used were all the things that had been brought to my attention in the months previous and had kind of spoken to my heart. And I sat there just weeping because I've never, and it's hard to not cry talking about it, I've never had an experience where it was so clear that it was God saying, hey, this is me. I am talking to you. You're not coming up with it on your own. You're not making it up. This isn't just a fad you've caught on to. This is me talking to you. And so it was really awesome because I have that certainty that it wasn't, you know, if I'd have seen it at Missions Fest, if I'd have found it at Missions Fest, I think I'd have spent the rest of my life wondering, you know, did I just pick this out? Was this just a kick that I was on? Am I sure that it was of the Lord? But when you end up in another city, in another church, at a place you should never be, on a day you should never be there, the circumstances are just so... the crazy coincidence. Yeah. Only a God coincidence.
Yeah, I love that. And so you're up there in Canada. And when we think of orphans, Canada's not usually the first country that comes to mind, I confess. But there is a huge crisis there with vulnerable children. So can you share some of the statistics about vulnerable children in Canada?
Sure. I'm not up on, you know, all the exact numbers. It's not my specialty, and I know it can be awfully tricky up here for us to get specific numbers because all of our provinces track things differently and keep it differently. But some of the general figures I'm aware of, we have approximately 80,000 kids who are in government care in Canada. About 30,000 children in Canada are available for adoption, so we call them waiting children that... they, for whatever reason, will not be going back to their parents and awaiting adoption. So those are some, I thought, rather staggering numbers for Canada. I think it's one of those things kind of flies under the radar that we're not so aware of. But there's some pretty big numbers.
Yeah. So when you say government care there, it would be like kids in foster care here in the U.S.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Wow. So in your work now, because your heart is to do something, you are an advocate and you quit your job and you know that God set you on this path. You've connected with some other nonprofits up there in Canada who are also advocating for orphans. Have you found your fit? Have you found that place, that work that God has called you to specifically?
I don't know if I've completely arrived, but as time goes on, it kind of becomes, you know, a little more narrowed down and narrowed down. It seems that there's kind of a couple areas that seem to fit with I guess the skills and abilities and the passions that God's given me. One of those is Orphan Sunday and Stand Sunday, just connecting with churches and saying, hey, is this something that's on your radar? For a couple of reasons. One was I've grown up going to church my entire life, from the time I've been a fairly young child, been pretty serious about my walk with the Lord. And so the whole concept that I could go to church, I could be a serious Christian for 30 years of my life and never have the importance of our call to care for the fatherless be something I came across in my church and faith experience, you know, apart from, you know, there's organizations that are helping orphans around the world and you can sponsor a child, that sort of thing. But the hitting home of, hey, this is something that's repeated more than 24 times in Scripture, this is something that's close to God's heart, that just continues to blow me away that was something that never came across. And so I have a passion for reaching the rest of the people that are like me, that are probably blissfully unaware of the needs in our own backyard, of the needs around the world, and that this is part of our family business as God's kids to be part of.
Mm.
And so, yeah, Orphan Sunday, Stand Sunday, been working with others on launching the Canadian websites and getting some materials out and connecting with churches. And so, my vision would be to see every church in Canada familiar with the name Orphan Sunday, with the name Stand Sunday, with what it stands for, and with that biblical call to what are we doing, what is our part in this. So I'd say that's kind of one of my pieces, and I think the other one is connecting. As I said, I came as a professional marine biologist into this, so water salinities and starfish are not overly helpful. And so I had a fairly steep learning curve to learn, you know, how does this work in our country? How does this work in the world? What's going on? Who's out there that's doing it? And so I seem to kind of be a little bit of a connecting hub, meeting people and saying, oh, hey, you're doing this. Oh, these guys are doing it too. Do you know about them? Or there's this training that's happening in Saskatchewan. Are you guys going out to it? Or, connecting, whether that's within our own community or kind of across the country. We don't have near as much happening up here as you folks have in the States. So we have a much smaller pool of people to connect.
So you're actively involved in launching Orphan Sunday and Stand Sunday across Canada. We've been talking a little bit about that. But for the sake of our listeners, can you explain a little bit about what Orphan Sunday and Stand Sunday is?
Sure. Orphan Sunday and Stand Sunday are two parallel branches of a movement to engage churches, to engage Christians in our call to care for the fatherless, whether that's at home or abroad. It's a pretty cool movement that just kind of starts from a couple of personal stories of a couple of pastors who saw the needs, one in Zambia and one in the U.S. in Texas, and they saw the needs of the kids in their community, and they looked in the Bible, and God laid upon their heart the needs that they need to be involved, and they said to their people, hey, guys, we got to do something. You know, what are we going to do to care for these kids? And so Orphan Sunday started in Zambia, and the pastor asking, you know, what are we going to do for these orphans in our community? Stand Sunday started in Texas with Bishop Blake saying, who's going to stand with me for kids in foster care? And so it's just that same message that we bring to our congregations of, hey, this is the family business we're called to be part of. What are we going to do? How are we going to be a part? So sharing that biblical call, sharing some ideas on how we can be involved, sharing some of the needs. And the wonderful part with Orphan Sunday is it brings materials and resources so that if this is something new to you like it was to us, you've got some materials and starting point and resources to go from. You don't have to be an expert. There's all the pieces there that you can build something if you're first time exposure to it.
Yes, and the mission there is one day, one voice, one purpose, and that is for the church to stand for orphans and vulnerable children, whether they be orphans around the world or children in foster care and government care like they're in Canada. It's a day for churches to observe and to really stand and to start this conversation, right, mm-hmm. about vulnerable children and how the church can get involved. It's a campaign of Christian Alliance for Orphans, and Orphan Sunday, Stand Sunday is the second Sunday of November annually, and Stand Sunday is essentially the foster care version of Orphan Sunday. So a lot of times when we hear Orphan Sunday, we think orphans globally, which is the case, and we really don't think of children in government care or foster care as orphans. They don't like, nobody likes to be called an orphan, but we can, as Bishop Blake said and challenged his congregation there in Texas, we can stand for them. And Orphan Sunday, or whether you want to choose to call it Stand Sunday, is one day where the church can take a stand and really focus on this topic. So it's the second Sunday of November annually. So this year it will be November 11th. And you can learn more about Orphan Sunday and Stand Sunday by very simply going to their website, which is orphansunday.org, standsunday.org. Brandilyn, is there a different web address for Canada?
Yeah, we've been working on making some Canadian-specific materials and information items that will be relevant up north. And so we've got orphansunday.ca. That's for more of the global orphan care focus or the adoption focus. And then standsunday.ca is more of the foster care focus.
And that's for the churches there up there in Canada. And churches must get Orphan Sunday and Stand Sunday on their church calendar. And this year, pretty quickly here, they're going to be launching a free digital toolkit available when a church registers for Orphan Sunday, and all you have to do is go online and click in your church and address, and then you can receive the download of this free toolkit, which has all kinds of resources and information available in it, including like 21 ways to observe Orphan Sunday. And there's videos, and there's downloadable posters and postcards and bulletin inserts and all kinds of things that come through there. So it makes it super simple for a church to do a little something or even a big something when observing Orphan or Stand Sunday. So, Brandilyn, share with us the story of the impact that Orphan Sunday has had on your church.
Sure. That same year that I decided to quit my job, 2014, that was the first year that I found Orphan Sunday and Christian Alliance for Orphans as I was digging around in my mad learning curve of research. And so we came to our pastor and up here on Vancouver Island and said, you know, here's this Orphan Sunday. This just seems like, you know, this is a really biblical thing. Is this something that we could do in our church? And he said, yeah, sounds good. And as the days drew closer, we said, okay, what do you want this to look like? And he said, well, what do you want it to look like? I don't know. And he said, well, how about you just do the service? Which was shocking.
Yeah.
My husband and I are not pastors. We've never gone to Bible school, like, you know, this is kind of out of the box, but nonetheless, we felt that it was something important, so we took him up on it. And so we were preparing for the service. It was something that was really on my heart quite strongly, my husband not so much. And you know, we were talking about who's gonna do the preaching, and we both felt that, you know, the men should, if they can, do the preaching and the leading. And so I remember my husband saying, well, how about you write it and I'll preach it? And I thought, well, I don't know, that doesn't seem right, but I guess we could kind of start with that. And so I was, you know, trying to pull him into the preparation. And as we're working on things, I remember him just stopping one day in the kitchen and saying, wow, I can't see anything more valuable to give your life to than to defend these kids, than to stand up for these kids. And I just remember that being such a pivotal moment for us personally, as we were, it was just the power of God's word. It was the power of taking him seriously on what he said and looking at the needs. And so we brought this to our church, and we basically kind of presented the big picture of, you know, here's the needs around the world. You know, here's the needs in Canada. Here's the scriptural background as to why we need to be involved. Here's the history that the church has been involved. Here's the current situation where the church essentially is not involved in our country in the child welfare situation. And we brought that to our congregation, and there was such a great response. People were coming to us with the same response that we had of, I've just never thought of that. I've never, you know, that's not been on my radar. I think you're right. I think that's something we do need to do. And from that Sunday, our church committed to kind of move towards, let's be intentional about this. Let's do something. And so we've since started what we call our James 1:27 ministry. And our mandate is to have local impact, to have international impact. We're a Salvation Army church, so the Salvation Army is in 130 countries around the world, so we have quite a global connection to our brothers and sisters, so we felt it was important to still keep an international impact. And education was kind of our third mandate. And the reason we said education is we, as a congregation, know nothing about foster care. We know nothing about adoption. We know nothing about the global orphan crisis. And so we said, really, if we want to have an impact, we need to educate ourselves. And if we're educating ourselves, let's offer that education to our community. And so we've held a few Adoption Foster Care 101 information sessions. We've hosted the Empowered to Connect conference via simulcast a couple years in a row, understanding the effects of trauma on kids and how that impacts their behavior. What's been really neat with that to see is how understanding the impacts to children helps us to understand adults, and it can help us to understand the adults that we're interacting with in our communities, in our community ministries, the people that come into our soup kitchen, into our food bank. We can suddenly start to look through the eyes of, wait a minute, tell me about your childhood. And we can start to maybe see that some of the challenges they have maybe aren't decisions that they're making today. It's impacts of what's happened in the past with them. So we've been on this journey of education. We've done some fundraising to share for one of the children's homes in Mexico that the Salvation Army runs. We've been supporting some local foster and adoptive families, and it's been kind of neat that since we started on this, we now have an adoptive family that's actually started coming to our church, and they're in the process of adopting another teenage son with Down syndrome from Bulgaria. And so we're excited to kind of be on this journey, and we've talked with this family, and we kind of have the same idea that it sort of seems like God was preparing us before they came and preparing us to be ready to be the church family they need when this son comes home. So it's been kind of neat to see just on the small scale what God's doing in our community.
Yeah, he's definitely orchestrating there behind the scenes. And I find that oftentimes he uses Orphan Sunday, Stand Sunday, as a catalyst to lead to churches launching orphan ministries, families adopting and fostering, and ultimately, of course, children getting their forever family. And it's our stories are a little bit similar here, Brandilyn, because when my church did Orphan Sunday for the first time, my pastor also said the same thing to me. You know, you guys do it. And then in researching the statistics and searching the scriptures, I was wrecked, and that eventually led to us establishing Justice for Orphans. So it oftentimes just starts with that Orphan Sunday to get that conversation started. So this is pure religion, right? Pure ministry. So please put Orphan Sunday or Stand Sunday on your church calendar. Again, this year it's November 11th. 2018. It's always the second Sunday of November every year. So it's super easy to schedule it every year so that you know when it is and it's on your calendar. So Brandilyn, as we wrap up here today, what is on your heart that you want to be sure our listeners hear from our conversation?
As I was thinking and praying about this, the biggest thing that really comes up to me is if we take our Bible seriously, if we take God seriously, He tells us that this life is not a battle against flesh and blood, that this is a spiritual battle, that there's high stakes, that there's eternity on the line, that there's big gains to be won and big losses to be had. And I think of if we thought of this as a battle, if we thought of it as strategy, and if I thought of being on the side of the enemy, I think one of the most powerful tactics to prevent God's people from being effective in the care for the fatherless would be to ensure that they had no idea what the needs were out there, to ensure they had no idea the global orphan crisis, to ensure they had no idea the national needs for children in their country for foster care, to have no idea of the needs within their own community of foster kids, of aging out youth, of, you know, struggling in foster families. I would make sure they didn't know the needs. Then I would make sure that they didn't know that they were fully equipped to solve the problem. I've been absolutely amazed when you look at, Canada's a great example, the numbers that we have 30,000 children in Canada that are awaiting adoption. We have 30,000 churches in Canada.
Wow.
If we took every church mandated, if we prayed that we were going to pray that every church, you know, took on the cause of one of the kids in our country, we could solve the problem. And you look worldwide, God's equipped his church to solve the problems. So if you can keep God's people from recognizing that they have been equipped with everything they need to solve the problem, and if you can convince them that there's no hope and they shouldn't even try, I think those are the most effective battle tactics against us. And so my encouragement and my what I hope that the people hear, I hope the challenge is to recognize that there's a need that we're called to see that God has equipped his people to meet it, and to know that God is faithful to his word, that he's going to carry us through, and to not be blinded and not allow these tactics to be successful in keeping us from this call.
That's right. And I always say, and because I probably have heard somebody else say it, so I can't actually take credit for it, but God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And that's just it. We just need to step out in faith and trust him and step through that open door, and he will give us everything that we need to meet the need, because that's what he's calling his people to do, to meet these needs.
I can attest to that. What can you do with a scuba diving marine biologist for kids in Parksville?
That's right. He uses all of us, every one of us. There's a part for every one of us to pray, to play. So pray, right? And
yeah.
And hear, you know, he will answer. You'll hear him speak, and he might not say quit your job, right?
No.
But he might, because that's happened.
Yeah.
So, Brandilyn, thank you so much for being a voice to the voiceless up there in Canada. And thank you for sharing your incredible story today.
Yeah, thanks for the connection. It's good to talk with you today.
Oh, same here. To learn more about Orphan Sunday or Stand Sunday, visit their websites very easily. Here in the States, you can go to orphansunday.org or standsunday.org. Up in Canada, you can go to orphansunday.ca or standsunday.ca. And you can register your church with just a couple simple clicks and receive a free digital toolkit with all the resources your church needs to observe and participate in Orphan Sunday this November. Orphan Sunday is one day, one voice, one purpose to stand for orphans and vulnerable children. We thank you for listening to this episode of Orphans No More. You can find more shows right on our website or wherever you listen to podcasts. Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls them, be it adoption, foster care, orphan ministry, and oftentimes it's Orphan Sunday that launches great things. So to learn more, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.